Greetings. This is Pastor David Bass at New Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church with a moment of truth where we challenge you to think through an important issue of life and faith. Today, I want to urge the necessity of Jesus Christ in the lives of my own children's generation, often called the millennial generation. Oh, I've been looking at my grandkids. I've been thinking about my kids here in these last few weeks. My oldest daughter is pregnant again, and I just have a passion and sense of compassion for them, for the millennial generation and the generation to come. And if you've listened to this program for any extent of time, you notice that I have often stressed the three things that America requires in order to survive and prosper as an independent nation. That is Christ, Constitution, and capitalism, the three C's. And these, of course, are in complete contradiction to that which now obtains, that is, the three S's, secularism, statism, and socialism. And many voices have competently and articulately made the case for our Constitution and for capitalism. And let me just recommend to you, if you've not accessed them yet, the National Center for Constitutional Studies premier site, great site. A life-transforming site in terms of the Constitution for me. The Heritage Foundation, of course, many people are aware of this one, and maybe one that you're not aware of, and that's the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. I highly recommend this site, the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. But in spite of many quality places that make the case for constitution and capitalism, very few have insisted upon the urgency of the first priority, that is the Christ of the Bible. This has been especially true for my own children's generation, the millennial generation. They have been largely deprived of a clear, thorough presentation of Jesus Christ their entire lives, many of them. How do I know this? Well, let me state my factual basis for many of my conclusions. I have been reading with great interest the Pew Research Center's Survey of Social and Demographic Trends. Let me give you that again. The Pew Research Center's Survey of Social and Demographic Trends, a very detailed study, a very quality study. In February of 2010, they published a survey of millennial generation children, the generation that I'm concerned with, the generation of my children, my three kids, my two daughters and son, the millennial generation children. And it chronicled 10 areas of comparison with previous generations, including my generation. And I am a baby boomer. I was born in 1949. Baby boomers are those born between 1946 and 1963. And they compare not only baby boomers, but also the silent generation. That's the generation that preceded me. And Generation X, which is 1964 to 1979. Millennials, as they are called, were born between 1980 and the dawn of the new millennium, 2001. Therefore, they are called millennials. My kids were born in 1984, 1986, and 1988, and they are all three millennials. And they behave this way, too. Oh, to my consternation sometimes. And what has distinguished the millennial generation from others comprises, oh, many factors, but I'm only going to deal with five of them today, I think, and maybe others later. But let me deal with the one that concerns me the most, the one that goes to the heart of the matter the most for me. And that is, number one, the millennial generation is the least religious of all previous generations, according to the Pew Research Center and their study, their recent study on demographics and the millennial generation. The millennial generation is the least religious of all previous generations of Americans. One in four, fully 25% of my kids' generation say that they are atheistic or agnostic, while less than 9% of my generation say they are so. You may remember my piece on talking about my generation, right? The baby boomers, responsible for so much of this spiritual wasteland that we see before us. Well, personally, I am a blessed man because all three of my children, I thank God for this, all three of my children, their spouses and their children, that is my grandchildren, they all know the Lord. They love Christ. and they practice their Christian faith explicitly so all the world can see. Those things that we inculcated fearfully, knowing our responsibility before the Lord as parents, and those things we inculcated lovingly too, because both my wife and I, we know our own love of Christ and His great salvation for us. We inculcated these things in our children. But this is not so among the general stretch of millennials. Never has there been such an irreligious generation than this one. The Pew Report notes a steady decline in religious practice, that is, the practice of Judeo-Christian religion, too explicitly the Judeo-Christian religion. And the Pew Report notes a steady decline over the generations. My parents' generation, who were born before 1928, they identify themselves almost exclusively as Christians. 97% of my parents' generation identified themselves as Christians, while their so-called silent generation, that is those born between 1928 and 1945, identified themselves 94% as practicing Christians, a decline of 3%. And of course, we baby boomers at 91%, another decline of 3%. And then Generation X, those born between 1965 and 1980, they identified themselves 87% as Christians. You can see the steady decline over generations. We have been seeing a steady decline in the practice and teaching and passing on of our Christian faith over the generations. But I want you to get this. I want you to note the precipitous drop, the almost tripling of loss of those in the millennial generation compared to previous ones. An average of 3 or 4% of children, subsequent generations, would not carry on the practice of their parents' faith prior to 1980, but the millennials, that is my kids' peers, they fell away by fully 12% between Generation X and 1980, triple the pace in these last 20 to 30 years. To me, that is tragic and also dangerous to our republic, dear listener. And I want to underline this, especially for any millennials that might be listening too. It is not only tragic, but it is dangerous for our republic. If you are indeed a member of the millennial generation, that is, you may be in high school, perhaps recently graduated from college and entering the workforce, or the non-workforce, as our present administration has given us and built for us, well, perhaps you are part of that millennial generation. You know the irreligiosity of your peers. And I appeal to you, all members of the millennial generation, I appeal to you in the words of the Apostle Peter, who said to his own generation, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Oh, dear millennial Christian, repent and believe. The promise is for you and for your children too, the next generation. May we see an increase in belief and faith in the next generation. That promise for you is of salvation and spiritual renewal and spiritual life that you do not know if you have not been birthed, if you have not been spiritually born in Jesus Christ. Christianity, dear millennial person, dear man or woman, child of the millennial generation, Christianity is not merely a formal religion where everyone gets dressed up on Sunday and goes to church. Rather, it is a whole life birth in the realm of the Spirit that begins by believing in Jesus Christ as the only one who can save you from judgment for your sins. The Bible tells us that He, Christ, that is, was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. And the Apostle Paul says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Oh, Christianity is a heart religion. Paul goes on to say, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved, unquote. Dear listener, dear millennial generation person, Christianity is first and foremost a heart religion that begins at the core of the soul and then radiates outward to change and revolutionize the whole person. And now Israel, the Bible says, Moses said to Israel at the time, and it's still true today, "Now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul," unquote. Oh, you see, my dear millennial peer to my own children, you may have observed inconsistency too in your parents or others of my generation, and what you may point out as hypocrisy too, as hypocrisy. Oh, my, please forgive me and my peers. We freely confess that we too are sinners. We do not always behave as we ought. We do not always behave to the high calling of our Lord. We freely confess that we are sinners, though. We do not always live up to our high calling. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul himself said, "Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief," Paul says. We are all, and we hope that you too will soon be a forgiven sinner. And we are improving, we're growing to be better people, but we will never be perfected until we either die and go to heaven or until Jesus returns himself again to bring us into his perfect kingdom. So, I cannot stress for you enough the importance of this one person, Jesus Christ. Investigate him. The Apostle Paul also said, "God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed." And that's Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to say, "And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead," unquote. So, dear young millennial person, perhaps you're now entering your adult years, I am sure that you have gotten negative propaganda about Christianity over the course of your education, for example, especially if you've been taught in public schools. But I ask you to go against the grain of your own generation and truly think for yourself. Investigate Jesus. Oh, I can underline this not enough. Investigate Jesus. Begin here. Do not look at me or your parents or the church or corrupt clergy. Take up your Bible and study Jesus of Nazareth. Even the most cynical atheists who reject God altogether even respect the human Jesus. And I guarantee, if you investigate the life of Jesus as portrayed in the New Testament Gospels, you will not only grow to respect Christ. After all, he's the one who says, "Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your enemies. Pray for your enemies. Turn the other cheek." All of these great principles. Jesus is not only the one who taught these things, and you will grow to respect him. But I know that, like so many of us, you will grow to honor him as God in the flesh, and you will grow to love him as the Savior who died to redeem you. So, dear millennial, this is my challenge to you. If you are as open-minded as so many of your peers claim to be, if you are as tolerant and diverse as you claim to be, certainly all of these virtues can withstand an honest, thorough investigation of the life of Jesus of Nazareth. I am 64 years old now, and I never tire of reading the Gospels and learning something new about Christ. So, go against the grain of your generation's conventional wisdom and embrace the Jesus of the Gospels. So, this is one of the chief features of the millennial generation. They are the most irreligious of all previous generations. And I challenge you, go against the grain, dear millennial. Well, number two. Not only is the millennial generation the most irreligious, but also the millennial generation is the most technically savvy and socially networked. Any parent who has a texting, uploading, downloading, Facebooking teen knows precisely what I'm talking about. The Pew study shows that 75% of millennials have a social network profile of some kind, while only 30% of my generation does. 88% of millennials use their cell phones to text, while only 51% of baby boomers do. And here's a scary stat that I uncovered in the Pew research. They say that 64% of millennials text while they drive, while 21% of my generation, the baby boomers, do. Oh, fair warning. Stop this. both generations stop texting while you drive. With great ease and enthusiasm, my kids and their peers have grown up with and integrate the new digital technology into their daily lives. Many leave their phones on overnight, the soft glow of their iPhones in the night, waiting for the next text or the next call. But is this a good thing? Well, duh, say my kids. Of course it is. It's so cool. Millennials outstrip all other demographic groups in positive virtues of the new technology. They say it makes life easier, brings people together, and allows them to use their time more efficiently. Yet, some preliminary studies seem to indicate that obsession with technology can isolate users rather than bring them together, isolate users from interactive social skills in the long run. And I'm now citing one study conducted by Dr. Courtney Turnbull of Elon University. And she says that while social media requires communication skills all their own, well, at one point we must all deal with real people in real life situations, face to face, eye to eye, and word for word. Dr. Turnbull notes that while kids can get in touch with one another with ease via technology, it comes at the cost of quality. Yes, quantity for the sake of quality. And she says that by using short, ambiguous messages in texting and email, kids miss out on quality conversation that normally includes facial and body language, voice inflection, eye contact, and name a few of the integral parts of conversation and what constitutes communication that an adult will need in an adult world. So be forewarned, Mr. and Mrs. Millennial. Well, thirdly, not only are millennials more tech savvy, not only are they more irreligious, but thirdly, millennials are more ethnically and racially diverse, and they pride themselves on this. Millennials are more ethnically and racially diverse. My generation, the baby boomers, according to the Pew Research Study, my generation, the baby boomers, was over 70% white Caucasian, with 11% black, 13% Hispanic, and 5% Asian. Today's millennial generation has shrunk that white population by a full 9% to 61%, with the biggest growth being in the Hispanic community. The Hispanic community has gone from 13% of baby boomers to 19% of millennials, up 6 points. The black demographic has grown to 14% in that same time period, while the Asian community has remained static at 5%. So, in many real and positive ways, my kids' generation, my three kids, Rachel, Katie, and John, that generation has incorporated some of the values, the ideal, for example, that justice should be colorblind, that opportunity to succeed should be available to all regardless of race, creed, or color, and that a person should be judged on the content of his character and not the color of his skin, as Martin Luther King said. And my oldest daughter put us to the test on this by becoming engaged to a black man. So we have really incorporated this into our own family. And I'd like to challenge this point of pride, though, on the part of the millennials, the idea of diversity. I would like to challenge this point of pride with two outstanding observations. First of all, number one, diversity for diversity's sake is divisive, not unifying. I know this is heresy in many a political and cultural circle, that diversity for diversity's sake is divisive, not unifying. To me, this is an empty, vacuous cliche that we hear over and over again. Unity and diversity. No, no, no. I have heard this for some 30 years. No one's been able to adequately explain to me what it means. It's truly one of those comforting cliches that makes people feel good without having to think. For example, there has been true ethnic, social, religious, and racial diversity on the Balkan Peninsula for centuries. Yes, yet look how they butcher one another. Orthodox Greek against Muslim, Bosnians against Serbians, Croats against Slovenians, communist against National Socialist, and on it goes. This is diversity in which there is no unity, only division and conflict. Diversity for diversity's sake. That is what obtains when you pursue this principle of diversity for diversity's sake, my dear millennial. What is required is a true unifying principle to obtain. And I submit to you, dear millennial, America has had one unifying principle in the past, and that is the United States Constitution. That has brought people together. The United States Constitution, that has brought diverse backgrounds, diverse peoples and races and ethnicities. The U.S. Constitution exercised under Christ and prospered under a free market capitalism. That is what I've been teaching you, Christ, Constitution, and capitalism. Without this, I can predict the balkanization of the United States of America in the future if you continue to pursue diversity for diversity's sake. And secondly, there is no more diverse society and organism than the church. Oh, dear millennial, if you value diversity, then I suggest you look at the church. I invite you to look to the church universal, that is, the church distributed worldwide. Ever since the book of Acts, the church has been exploding like the Big Bang, or like Jesus would put it, the mustard seed, growing and thriving. There is no continent on which Christ has not been proclaimed, no country. Is there no country where there's not a church, and sometimes they have to meet in secret because they're persecuted? And there's no obscure island, even, where a missionary has not brought the word and sacrament. This is all in fulfillment, dear millennial. The church, the most diverse organism, and it is a living organism, it's called the body of Christ. The church is all in fulfillment of the declaration of the angels who said in the book of Revelation, "Worthy are you," that is Christ, "worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a," that is one, "you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." If you want true diversity, dear millennial, a diversity that, incidentally, will endure for time and eternity, with great glory and blessing and salvation, more than any other civic organization that you may find on the earth or any other political party or organization. No, it's the church that will endure for time and eternity with great glory, blessing, and salvation. If you would have this, then come to Jesus Christ and become a part of his living body, the church. Okay, fourthly, millennials are also on course to become the most educated, quote-unquote, generation. Yes, millennials, at their present pace, are on course to become the most, quote-unquote, educated generation. I put quotation marks around that for a reason. Education has always been a highly valued commodity and virtue in our country, hasn't it? Among 18 to 24-year-olds, 40% were enrolled in college, graduate school, or community college, which is a record number for any previous generation. Aspirations are also very high, with millennials planning on graduating from college to the record percentage of 65%. 65% of all millennials, the highest number ever, anticipate graduating from college. But of course, I would submit to you, and if you're listening, dear millennial, an education is only as good as the teacher, content, and family out of which the student comes. That's the rub, dear millennial. Spending 4 years in college does not make you an educated person any more than putting your Dodge Neon for 4 years in a garage makes it a BMW, does it? No. Dear millennial, you may know how to put a condom on a cucumber by virtue of your sex class, but how many of you can name the composer of the Declaration of Independence or who drafted the Constitution? Dear millennial, you may struggle with great angst over whether you are lesbian or gay or bisexual or transgendered, but how many of you have wrestled with the great ideas of history like Plato's Republic or Adam Smith's The Wealth of Nations? Dear millennial, you may text with great facility, but as college freshmen, you increasingly have to take remedial English and remedial composition courses just to put an intelligible sentence together for college-level work. Millennials may be able to critique Jay-Z or the Jersey Shore or what the Kardashians are wearing, but can they think critically through the differences between liberty and tyranny, between socialism and capitalism, or even identify the ideas and philosophy behind a politician's speech? I have overheard millennials in Starbucks discussing in fine detail the history of the various iterations of their iPhone. But then they look at me with a blank stare when I ask them to compare and contrast the Revolutionary War with the Civil War, or even tell me how long Islam has actually been at war with the West. So, my dear millennial friend, your education may train you for a technical job or career, but it may also leave you ignorant of the good life, ignorant of the reflective mind and soul, ignorant of the thinking brain. And as I have demonstrated in my piece, Talking About My Generation, one of the goals of the radical leftists in the 60s was to infiltrate and co-opt the educational institutions of America. Oh, and I submit to you how they have succeeded beyond their wildest dreams. And I just invite you to take a look at one man who's been in the news recently, Bill Ayers, right? Of the Weathermen, who was who planted bombs at police stations and Congress. And yet now he's teaching in a university, of course. Well, as a result of the infiltration of the educational institutions, as a result, you, dear millennial, you're being taught what to think, not how to think. You are being inculcated with propaganda, not philosophy. You obey politically correct speech codes while you despise and disobey the Ten Commandments. You have traded your human liberty to live a free, responsible life for a bestial license to satisfy your desires. Well, I urge you along the way to acquire a true education and not mortgage your youth and your future to do it either. It's so expensive, isn't it, to get a college education these days? Well, also, we find then lastly, the millennial generation has been raised by a single parent and lived with parents longer than any previous generation. Oh, the nature of family has been challenged, hasn't it, in the millennial generation? My generation, that is the baby boomers, saw 80% of us living with both parents, that is a mom and a dad, for the bulk of our childhood. Only 61% of millennials can say the same, the fewest of any previous generation. The rest of millennials have lived with or are still living with a single parent or neither parent. And in addition to this, 1 in 8 millennials over the age of 22 say they have boomeranged back to their parents' house, either because independent living was too expensive for their means or, after graduating from college, no job could be had in their chosen field. Blame the one you voted for, President Obama, for this too, millennial. And this is unprecedented in any generation to almost all children of all previous generations were out of their parents' home at age 18 and most certainly by age 21. But difficult economic times, skyrocketing college costs and their consequent debt, and as well, this is true, the ambiguity as to precisely what constitutes family these days has made the millennial generation skittish about leaving the safety and security of mom and dad. Well, the Pew Research Center underlines this. It concludes, too, that the family experience of millennials has profoundly affected their attitude towards the modern family. They're far more likely to endorse moms having babies out of wedlock, gays getting the right to marry, gays being able to adopt children for that matter, and couples cohabitating rather than getting married. To all of this, I would say to young millennials, please, take heed to the Word of God. Check out the Bible and its understanding of family. You are hardwired for family. You are hardwired for a one father, one mother understanding of family. And we'll touch on this a little bit more next week, too, as we unpack some further understandings of the millennials. My kids, they're all millennials. I love them. I love my grandkids. And I appeal to the most unchurched generation, come to Christ. You are millennials. You are those young people who may have never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ or heard a fair presentation of him. Pick up your Bibles. Come to our church. Hear us preach on Sunday morning. We meet, New Geneva meets for holy worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. at 101 4th Street on the corner of 4th and Boulevard. Come see us. 523-0196 is our phone number.